Today on Ask the Podcast Coach, we're going to be talking about some new tools at Stitcher, and we're going to be talking a little affiliate marketing.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Good Saturday morning. Here it is, Saturday, 10:30 in the morning, Eastern Standard Time. That means it's time for Ask the Podcast Coach. That would be me, Dave Jackson, from the schoolofpodcasting.com, where we answer your podcasting questions. You can call in. It's 888-563-3228. And every Saturday, I am lucky to be joined by the one, the only, don't be fooled by cheap imitations, Jim Cullison from theaverageguy.tv. Jim, how you doing today?
Good morning, David. Great to be with you.
And here we are. It's kind of cool that we're doing this on Saturday, because this Saturday is not close enough to Christmas to really cause a problem. And next week we'll be talking about all the fun-filled toys that Santa put in our stocking, because it'll be a couple days after Christmas. So that'll be fun. And you can find us out at schoolofpodcasting.com/live. And I'm clicking around here, making sure that everything is going. And wow, we've already got callers on the line.
Nice.
How cool is that?
That's very cool. I did check Mixler and Stitcher, and we're live out there as well. So that's always very cool.
Well, hey, let's just get to the phone calls here.
And Rhonda just let me know she's listening via the Facebook. I put a note out there to a group, and she's jumped in to listen. So Rhonda, welcome to the show. If you did join us from Stitcher, there is a chat room over there, but we don't really use it because it's not very good. So come over to the Mixler one. Actually, the best way is to go to schoolofpodcasting.com/live, and there's the Mixler console right there. If you click on that, it'll take you over to the Mixler page, and the chat room is there. And there's already about 10 or 15 people loaded up in the chat room. So welcome, guys.
That's very, very cool.
But hey, I was telling you in the pre-show, Dave, I went back and listened. And yeah, podcasters do listen to their own stuff. And by the way, I recommend it, right? If you're doing podcasts, if you're creating podcasts, especially early, and I understand it's super painful when it's early in it. You know, you go back and you may have even resisted podcasting because you don't like the sound of your own voice. It's real common with a lot of podcasters, but they know they want to communicate in that way. But you got to go back and listen. And I liked the show last week. It was great. Even though I was there, even though I participated, I liked listening to the whole thing over again. And we want to thank Mike Phillips for jumping in and giving us some good advice on microphones as well. And so it was good to have that conversation. So hopefully by now, if you're listening to this, you've subscribed to us on iTunes, and Dave got that out there as well. So he's got all the links. If you just go to the schoolpodcasting.com/live, all the links, all the RSS feeds you need to get subscribed to the show, especially via Stitcher. And we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But iTunes, Stitcher, and just a standard RSS feed are right out there on the page.
Yeah, the good news is this week, I'm officially on vacation from the day gig. So I have lots of plans for Ask the Podcast Coach and the School of Podcasting. And that's actually maybe one of the things we'll talk about today is, you know, what do you have in planned for 2014 with your podcast? Before we get to Stitcher, I thought I would throw this out, especially because we have Mac people. I know Ryan K. Parker's in the chat room. And he's a Mac guy, and we got some people out here. Michael Kicking Bear Johnson. How cool a name is that? He does you can find him at singlefeathermedia.com. And he asked me a bunch of questions, but this one I was like, I don't know that. I know if you can do it, it's not easy. He says, I'd love to learn how to isolate each one of our mics in Audacity as we record. So he's recording like a panel, and he wants everybody to have their own channel in Audacity. He says, so that I can balance and level each individual person's audio in their own track somehow, as well as, and this is where things get fun, the Skype caller. And I went, wow, that's a pretty tall order. And to the best of my knowledge, I know with the right equipment and the right software, you can buy, like you can go to Guitar Center and buy these like giant input devices where you can plug multiple microphones in and they will give you multiple sends out. But the thing is, you need software that then recognizes that to say, oh, okay, we're going to send microphone one to channel one and microphone two to channel two. And I think GarageBand will do that. I know Logic will, which is another kind of Apple-based program. I have no idea if I don't know that Audacity is that smart. And so I thought I would throw that one out to the chat room. It actually is.
No, it is.
Is it? Okay.
It's smart enough. So you really need there are boards that are made that have the right inputs to go into. Some of the older ones, I think, were FireWire, but and they're not that much more expensive, but they are a little more expensive than just a standard soundboard. And so that input going in, then the drivers that load for that board, then support coming, bringing all those channels across, and then Audacity is smart enough on the backside to be able to see those channels individually. So it's that's about, I heard somebody talking about it. That's about all the details I have. It would require a little bit of research to make sure you get the right thing.
So one of those with a USB interface kind of thing, you know, the Alesis,
you need a multi-track, you need a multi-track board that supports it. Yeah. So, Passing Places out there says USB 2 on my board allows 10 channels and a total USB 3.0, out. Is it out now? I don't understand that question.
USB 3 is a format that's in the process of being rolled out. I don't know if it's officially out.
But Passing Places, can you drop your board, the name of your board, in the chat there so we can kind of look this up in real time?
Now he's got to stand on his head to find the model number.
Well, hopefully you got the box.
There you go.
I keep all my boxes, by the way. It's real handy. I have a shelf that's just empty boxes. And I keep those right near me because you never know. And you're like, oh, I'm looking up something online. What's the model of that thing? And you just head over to the box, grab it, pull it down. And it's good if you got to send it back. You want to keep with, especially with gear now these days, you definitely want to hold on. If you want to ship it back, or if you need to ship it back for warranty work, you definitely want to ship it back in the box that you brought it in.
There you go. Hey, Dustin, he's got a question here. Throw in your website link. And that's, I'm getting ready to teach week 6 of podcasting in 6 weeks. You can find that over at howtopodcast.com. And one of the things we're talking about today is how to promote your podcast. And I say I have 3 points on this. Number one, put your website address on everything. Point number two, put your website address on everything. Point number three, put your website address on everything. Because I say this not to like, I'm not chastising, but just realize sometimes people ask things, they're like, oh, that's kind of cool. And if you make them kind of search for it, it may be a harder path than if they go, oh, well, cool, here, right, it is. And so like Michael Kicking Bear had it right there in his signature, which is actually one of the best places to put a link. So Dustin says, hey, I just launched my podcast last week, and I'm wondering if it matters if I send, awesome, thank you very much, if I send people to the Libsyn feed or to the iTunes link, meaning can I possibly still get recognized in iTunes if people only clicked on my Libsyn feed? No, they cannot.
Yeah, you're right.
When you go through iTunes, it basically, when they click on subscribe, there's magic power basically in that. And you can find Dustin's podcast at definingmomentstv.com. No, I'm, and that's why I say, I don't want to make it sound like I'm chastising you. I'm just letting you know that when you said that, I'm like, oh, new podcast. Cool. I would love to see it. You know, where is it? So, but yeah, if you just send people to the Libsyn feed, like, if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/live, I've got a link there to Stitcher. I've got a link there to iTunes. Then I just have the RSS feed that I send to iTunes. So if you're on an Android device or if you're using something that's not iTunes, iTunes still has about somewhere between 60 and 70%, depending on your podcast and your topic, that, you know, it still basically is the big gorilla in the room. But you do want to give that option. I know Jillian Michaels, the trainer from The Biggest Loser, for the longest time, she was just saying, find me in iTunes, find me in iTunes. And at the time, I had an Android phone, and the hoops you had to jump through to go into iTunes, subscribe to her podcast so you could go in and reverse engineer and find the actual feed that she was using. And the average person, there's no way they would do that. They may not even understand RSS. So, yeah, you want to, it's one of those things we always say, give people the content in the format they want it in. So be sure to put, really, that would be the two I would put. Well, actually three. I'd put, you know, Libsyn or basically just standard RSS. So, and I wouldn't even give them the Libsyn feed unless you're using the Libsyn feed for iTunes. So whatever feed you fed to iTunes, you know, put that as your RSS and then put a link to iTunes and then a link to Stitcher. And that way it makes it easy for everybody.
Hey, Dave, if folks wanted to call in, what number would they
use? Let me, it's 888-563-3228. I'll put that in the chat room. Yes. So,
Passing Places was kind enough, you know, he or she, I don't know if, which one that is, because there's not a name there. If you can change that, it'd be great. The threw in that the Alesis Multimix 8 2.0, it's FX, which is the exact same board that I have, and I'm actually using right now.
Very cool.
It is USB 2. It does, at least my board, the version of my board, only does support one channel out through the PC port. So it is an 8-channel board. You can get up to 8 channels on it. I'm not aware of a way to get every single one of those tracks to show up separately. Once you connect it to the computer in Audacity, only one track, one track appears mixing all that together. Now, in theory, you could, back to your question, is like they want to be able to control everything, in levels and mix it on Audacity. And I would kind of say, that's one way to do it. If you wanted to do it on PC, you might have better luck actually just mixing it right on the board and then just sending that one channel into Audacity to get recorded. Because you're going to get that same control off your board that you would get in Audacity. And I know there's some line levels that you can set when you have multi-channel recording inside Audacity. But with a board like this, Alesis, you can do all that mixing right there. Now, the one drawback would be the Skype call, but you can still, if you have a separate PC with that person on Skype and you bring them in, it's kind of what I do here. I have a separate PC as a broadcast server. And you can still bring that call in. They can hear everybody on the call. You can hear them, and you can still mix their sound level. So it's probably way too technical for us to talk about here, because it's just, you can't, that stuff doesn't translate, right, on a call-in show, so to speak. But there are ways to do it.
Well, I was going to ask, because I know you mentioned that a lot, that you have what is the type of server you always...
We call it the broadcast server, okay. Right? It's a dedicated PC whose only job is to handle the broadcast.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So basically, Dave, this just real quick, the way we set that up. So I have a studio PC, or what I call a studio. We made these names up. Okay. We just, we were like, we need a way to separate our PCs. So the studio PC, the one I'm recording on right now, multi-monitor, it handles my microphone and all the inputs that are coming in on it. And then I have a second PC that sits right next to it. It's on the network that's set up. And like when we do a Google Hangout, you could do this on Skype. I record on Skype all the time this way. Is I have a separate account in Skype on the broadcast server, and it calls everyone and including me. So I'm in there twice in some ways, but it's unmuted. The broadcast server is always muted. It's never getting any audio input. It's only listening, and it unifies that audio. So think about this. You and I, and we'll put Ryan Parker in there. The three of us are in a conversation, and then the broadcast server comes in to listen, right? So it's a listening agent in that call. And so think about it. It's hearing all of our voices together, right? All three of us. So it's a one way of eliminating this very complex mix minus concept that we talk about all the time as podcasters and we try to get on the board. And it's mix minus can be tough to actually figure out and get sometimes. So early on, I was like, screw the mix minus. I'm just going to create a separate account that is this listening account. So then when I broadcast, I just grab that microphone, or I just grab that speaker output, or I just grab, like in the sense of Google Hangouts, it does all that stuff for me. Skype does that for me. I turn on Audacity on the broadcast server, and it records that unified audio conversation. So it's an easy way. It's a cheap man's, or maybe a lazy man's way of mix minus in some regards, right? But, it's just my way around it.
But here's the thing, and that's a key. Is anytime you can make it simple, make it simple. Because the more complex it gets, the more chance that things are going to go. You forget to, flip the switch, turn the knob, whatever. We were laughing, I think it was 2 weeks ago. I hit on my portable recorders where I'm actually recording the show. Yes, Mixler records and so does Spreaker, but I actually record it right off the board. And about, right after the intro, as I was saying, like, hey, Jim, how's it going? I looked down and I noticed that I had not hit record. So I went ahead and, recorded the rest of the show. But, and I forget where I was going with this. Because I've got three different ways of recording it. So sometimes adding more things to it, it gives you more things to remember. And, anytime you can keep it simple.
There's tons of stuff to remember when you're.
Yeah.
When you're doing all this, Passing Places says out there that Multimix 8 does send those channels.
10 channels.
Yeah. So eight input channels plus the two track inputs that are on there. It's a nice little board. And actually, I got it for $99.
See, I'm going to have to check this out.
It's not a bad little board. I'll have to do some. I've got mine connected via USB into my actual studio PC. And I bring everything into it and kind of control what I hear and what goes out through the broadcast and such. And right now, via connected via USB 2, and I'll just have to check the model numbers. I only see one track coming into Audacity, but it could be. Hey, I'm no sound engineer, so he says, Jim, I've yet to try and use it, but it meant the board was much more expensive. Yeah, well, so I may have the lower version of it. Again, I'll have to just do some looking to see.
And in theory, we have a caller on the air. If your phone number ends in 2056, you're on the air with Dave and Jim.
Podcast champion.
Hey, what's going on, man? It's
Chris Gregg from Nocturnal Podcast, man.
How are you,
my friend? I've got a question for you, but it doesn't have anything to do with Mix Minus.
You can ask a question about anything, my friend.
Okay. I apologize. It sounds like I'm frying bacon underwater on the back of a motorcycle with the weed eater. I'm a driver by trade.
All right.
And I'm on a cell phone in the middle of a rainstorm in Indiana.
Beautiful.
My question is, when I look at my stats in Libsyn,
mm-hmm.
I've changed a few things with my website, and at one point I was getting comments, but I think they were spam.
In Libsyn or on your website?
I'm sorry?
The comments, were they on your Libsyn page or on your web page?
No, they were on the website itself.
Okay.
They were comments to posts and things of that nature.
Got it.
But I changed a few things around, and all of a sudden, now there's no comments whatsoever.
Okay.
My downloads in Libsyn for the lifetime of my podcast is almost broke 900, and that rocks.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for every one of them.
There you go.
But how do I know that they're actual people?
What?
I know that, you know, I've got 14 episodes. I may be talking to myself, but that's okay. I still want,
Just think of it this way.
I guess I want to.
There's really no spam in podcasting. Right, I can go around and I can grab email addresses off the internet and I can send you unwanted messages. But pretty much, unless it's some sort of weird robot, nobody's downloading your podcast by accident. They've subscribed to it. They clicked on listen on your website. Somehow that audio, that video is now streaming or downloading one way or the other. Now, how do I know they listened to it? The only way you can tell that right now is through Stitcher, which we're going to talk about here in a second. And right now, it's weird. They say that the average completion rate, meaning somebody listened from the beginning to the very end, is 48%. So half the time, your audience isn't making it to the end of your podcast. I don't know what that means, but it's an interesting concept. But feed your ego and realize that's 900 people that have downloaded your show. Now, have they listened to it? I don't know. I like to think positive and say they did, because if they didn't listen to it, why did you download it? You still,
Dave, that's one of those. That's one of those things. I think we talked a little bit about this last week. You can drive yourself crazy trying to figure out when you get into those stats, did they listen to it all the way? When did they drop out? When did it, and I think at some point you just kind of got to let that go and just realize, hey, somebody listened to 5 minutes of it. Maybe that's all the time they had. Don't dig in at those kinds of levels. It's just too much work. Focus on your content and focus on, spend that time. And I heard somebody say this the other day, spend that time you're checking your stats, actually improving your podcast.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do. Trust me. This is the pot calling the kettle black, right? I am all kinds into my stats, but in the end, I always think, I just spent a half an hour monkeying around with that, and I could have been doing something else.
Yeah. Hey, 9364, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
Good. How are you,
George Jackson?
Mr. Jackson.
Good.
What's going on, my friend?
Yes. Well, I have a couple podcasts, the Sci-Fi Super Friends podcast and the Art of Grantsmanship podcast. And I got a question about Skype and mixers.
Okay.
Basically, I've noticed recently when I'm using Skype to record or to bring in people on my podcast, that I'm getting, well, basically they're getting an echo of their own voices on their end. Now, I'm not hearing it, so, and it doesn't bleed through into my recording or anything like that, but it's terribly distracting for my guests and my callers. So I'm trying to figure out what the heck the problem is, because it's something that seems that's gotten worse over the past, I would say, month or so. I don't know if it's my mixer or do I need to upgrade my computer or is it just Skype? And I don't know if it's a question that's too complex to
None.
Tackle here, but I
are you
I
on
just
a,
wanted to
on a Mac or a PC?
PC.
Okay. When you're in the call, if you go to the call menu at the top and go into audio settings, like right now I can see that I'm going into a laptop where I've connected to Jim via Skype, and I can see it's using the microphone input. The number one thing for giving you an echo is if that is set to kind of like speaker out or the mix of the sound. That would be one to check. So make sure that is just listening to
you. You're using earbuds, right? You're using earbuds or a headset on your side? Or are you coming out through a speaker or microphone?
Okay, I was going to say that would be the other one. Make sure you have headphones on, because what will happen sometimes is they will come out of your speakers and then back into your microphone. So that would be the two things I would check. So a lot of times people used to choose, I think it used to be called stereo mix, and they would do that, and then they would play sound effects while they were, you know, on the Skype call. But the problem is part of that stereo mix is that person's voice, and it's usually about a second or two behind them talking. And so they'll be talking, and all of a sudden they start talking slow because they're hearing themselves come back.
Right. Yeah, that's what I think that's what they're experiencing.
So, yeah.
I'm not sure. So what were you saying about the stereo mix?
Yeah, when you're in a call, go up to call, come down to audio settings, and you'll see where it says microphone, and you can pick what Skype is listening to. And let me see if I'm not going to change mine. Yeah, mine only has on my laptop one option. But I know on my PC, I have multiple options. And one of them, I know in the past, it used to be called Stereo Mix. And let me go to, I don't want to change this again on Mixler. But here, if I go to this, Stereo Mix, yes, is what it's called on my PC. It's called the iMic. It's from Griffin. It's a USB interface. But I could choose stereo mix. I could choose speakers and a couple other ones here. But so I just told it, you know, on my PC that I'm actually broadcasting on, I said, no, listen to the Griffin iMic. And on the laptop, I'm saying, listen to, you know, because that's the only thing I have on the laptop is a microphone input. So check that. That would be, if it says stereo mix, that will definitely cause an echo.
Okay.
And then
I'll go in. Take a look.
Yeah, I'm going to say the other thing, you know, find a Skype buddy. It's always good to have a Skype buddy just to go, hey, can we do a quick test call? I know I did that a couple weeks ago with Ray Ortega. I just happened to be online. He's like, look, I'm testing something. Can we just get on Skype for a second? So it's kind of handy if you have somebody you can just go, can we just spend 30 seconds playing with this a second? And that's always helpful.
And then make sure a couple things too. Make sure one on their end, they're not also listening to the live version of what you give. If you're producing it live, and they're, you know, say, this is real common sometimes if you use a live player with a chat window. Like maybe we're doing a Mixler right now, right? We're doing that. The chat room and the live player. And it's real common that the guest will bring up the chat to maybe watch it, and then they'll be listening to the live feed and they'll get echo, right? Because they're hearing you and they're hearing the live feed through their earbuds. So check it on that end. Make sure they're not doing that. You may also be doing that. I did that the other week. I was testing out Mixler, and I actually hadn't got a window closed, and it was broadcasting out the repeat of the show. And so you have to make sure you're not also streaming. you know, because there's a little delay in that, and that would cause an echo as well. So you also want to make sure they're not listening live at the same time.
Yeah, you always want to have your guest have headphones on. So everybody needs to be wearing headphones just to stop any kind of, to stop your voice from coming back to you and to stop their voice going back to them. And
that's the hardest part, is to get the guests to wear earbuds, you know? That I have found sometimes, especially when those guests aren't regular podcasters, you know, to have their setup right on their side can be difficult.
All right. Well, if you want to call in again, that number is 888-563-3228. Dustin's been on fire in the chat room here, so let's knock off some of his questions here. It says, in PowerPress, it puts my Libsyn link to each episode. So are you saying if they listen on my site, then the stats don't count in iTunes, basically? Yeah, iTunes, to the public, shall we say, does not count download stats. For the record, watch iTunes in 2014. Apple is, you know, they made a big stink about, 1 billion downloads. I think we're going to see Apple step up to the plate in 2014. That's all I can say on that. But there are no like download stats in iTunes to the public. That's an interesting way of putting that. So the only stats you're going to be checking are your Libsyn stats, because the cool thing is, no matter where people call from, that's because I'm reading the chat room. No matter where people listen from, whether it's on your website, in their phone, on their iPad, it's going to go to that Libsyn link. So that's where you'll see your true numbers. And yeah, there's no really way of knowing how many people you have in iTunes. You'll just go to, again, your Libsyn stats, or your Blueberry stats, we should say, and it'll show you what percentage of your listeners are using iTunes or an iOS device. So that's one. He says, I had my iTunes link on the site, but accidentally deleted it. I'll put it back, but only a link to all the shows. So if I understand you correctly, I want people to click on that link and not the play button on my site. Is that correct? Well, what you want to do is, number one, always try to have a way to listen to your podcast be one click away. So whether it's, you know, you can go to, there's a free site called PodTrack. If you go to player.podtrack.com, let me put that in the chat. That's one. Also, Blueberry has a player that you can put on your website, and that will play every episode that you have in your feed. And you just put in your RSS feed there, and it'll create this cool player. You can see these over at Podcast Review Show. I always put a player for whatever I'm reviewing on that site, and I use the PodTrack player. So I always have that. But yeah, and then, so that'll get them hooked. They'll be like, well, what's this? I don't know. They click on it, and they listen to it, and they're like, wow, okay, this sounds pretty cool. Then you've always got that link there for them to subscribe. So it's kind of either or, because there are a lot of people that will just, God bless them, come to your website every week to listen rather than subscribe. I don't know if they don't understand the concept, or if they see the word subscribe and they think that, you know, it's going to cost them money or something like that. But there are still a lot of people.
Yeah, that we should come up with a different word than subscribe.
Yeah,
because that does, I think for some people, that does kind of connotate a cost or a fee or something like that. So there was some, Dave, there was some banter going on around guests. Just as we get back to that, one of the things I created for my guests early on was a guest guide that I put out on my site. So if you go out to theaverageguy.tv/guest, whenever I have a new guest on, I just send them that link and say, hey, here's all the, and listen, I can't take credit for this. So Mike Howard, who is from jpegtoraw.com, really good photography podcast over there, he and I collaborate a lot, and so this was a collaboration between the two of us to put together this guest guide. So this, another great way, you should prep your guests, give them some information, really set them up for success. You know, a way of, when we do the Gallup podcast, we do a week before, or as close as we can, to a pre-call. And that's not, you know, that's not a bad idea to call them one time before you have them on to make sure all their equipment works. And generally, I like to do it not on the night of the interview or the day of the interview, right? You don't want your pre-call to be an hour before. Because if you have tech problems, then everybody gets flustered.
Yeah.
You know, you're flustered, they're flustered. They're not going to be their best, right? So get them a couple days ahead of time. Get them on a call. Say, hey, look, this is not live. There's nobody listening. We're not even recording, right? This is just you and me talking. And that really settles the guest down and gives them the opportunity to be their best. And then you walk through the various, you know, here's how Skype is going to work. Here's how Google Hangouts going to work, whatever, however you're deciding to do it. And it really sets your guest up best. Now, you don't want to do it too early because non-tech savvy guests will forget. So just, you know, somewhere between 7 to 3 days before the show has been my sweet spot. You know, send them the guide early, set some stuff up. And the other thing, I think if you really want good audio, the other thing we do at Gallup that I don't really do for my shows because my guests are generally very tech savvy and so they have this stuff, but we actually ship them out a microphone. So we bought I bought 10 of those ATR 2100s.
Cool.
We've shipped a couple to Singapore. I have one in Australia. And we've shipped all over the country here. We have some extra ones we just keep. And when we set up a guest about 3 weeks ahead of time, we throw that microphone in a box and ship it. Cost, I don't know, $5 or $6 maybe to get it there. And then with a return label and say, hey, plug this thing in. And Dave, you know, these ATR 2100s are just drop dead simple.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Plug it in, plug it into the PC or Mac. It recognizes it. No drivers needed. It shows all they got to do is switch their audio input in Skype or whatever, and they're in. And yeah. it's a great sounding mic. And hey, if it breaks, it's $40.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so it's just a win-win. So if you're thinking about doing a podcast and you really, really, really want your guests to have good audio quality, think about this idea of rotating the mic around. Is it worth it to you to spend the $10 or $15 in shipping round trip to send that thing out and send it back? Might not be a bad idea to get the best quality possible.
That's actually a cool idea. And then, you know, the return address, I'm assuming that's just through like UPS and then it charges
your account.
Yeah, you just drop a shipping.
I've got a great shipping department at Gallup. We do a lot of stuff. You know, we ship a lot of our materials out. And so they're really good about, they just drop a return shipping, you know, sticky return shipping label in it. And so they're like, you know, is with a note, hey, stick this on the box and just drop it in the mail or whatever, you know, call UPS, call FedEx, whatever. They all do those kinds of things. And so, it works out really, really well. And you have, you know, we've got a lot going on with our podcast now. So you need somebody kind of managing that to make sure that you're getting your stuff back from them. But even so, I mean, I've even thought of, so one time we needed a mic and they were like, well, we'll just ship it overnight. And I was like, hey, wait a minute. Why don't we just buy another one and have it ship it directly from Amazon?
Oh, there you go. Because you
know, it's actually faster. I mean, they probably would have gotten, well, a lot cheaper with Prime, and they would have gotten it just as fast.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I'm like, if you've got a Prime account, no shipping.
Yeah, and then just ask the guest, hey, could you just drop that back in the mail to me, and I'll reimburse you for the shipping and, you know, send them some money on PayPal or something. But there's ways, again, and it makes a huge difference. Trust me, I've done these podcasts where we've done earbuds and the microphone on the earbuds and those kinds of things, or trying to use the camera mic in a large room that's hard and, you know, hard surfaces and not acoustically treated. And it grinds on you after a while. You're like, this isn't fun to listen to, you know, let's get a little better sound. So there's a couple very inexpensive ways to be able to get that done. Part of that's all wrapped into making sure your guest is prepped before the show.
This is funny. I have a chat on my website.
Are there people chatting there?
And somebody just showed up and I'm like, hey, can you call in right now? I'm going to tell her I'm live on the air.
So Mike Howard, who I was talking about before and who's out there listening today, is probably one of the best guys that I know at prepping his guests. He does this. He really taught me a lot about that of doing that pre-show call and making sure they're set up for success and the sound is right and you overcome those technical hurdles. So thanks, Mike.
Well, we should probably talk about, we keep teasing about Stitcher and the thing I really like about Stitcher, I switched my podcast listening to Stitcher a couple weeks ago. Just again, you know me, I love to play with everything. And yeah, Stitcher does kind of, for lack of a better phrase, kind of dumb down your audio a little bit, makes it easier to stream and things like that. But most of the stuff I listen to is talk. I don't listen to any music podcasts on Stitcher. And the biggest thing I love about it is if I'm listening to something, I can click on their tweet button and it actually sends a link about that episode and it lets people know, if you have your Stitcher your Stitcher, your Twitter, what is that? ID, your tweet, your name. What is that?
Handle.
Called? Handle. Your Twitter handle.
Yep.
In your Twitter settings, you'll get a notice that, hey, somebody said they liked your episode. So I really, really love that feature. And it seems to be, this is the one platform right now that just seems to be continually coming out with new innovations. Right now, the Stitcher Awards are upon us. If you want to go out, I've been nominating us for best new show. I don't know.
Nice.
We'll see what happens. I'm like, hey, come on, best new show. Do it. Doggone
I'll
it.
I'll have to go out there and check that out.
Yeah. So I'm like, hey, you know, it wouldn't hurt. All they can say is no. But so they've got the Stitcher Awards going on. And they just keep adding stuff. And the one thing, here's a neat little tip. I love that I can be on the phone, listening in my car. I can turn off my phone, come into my office, and there's actually an app, like a web-based version of their listening device. And I just log in, and it knows all my favorite shows and where I left off. And when I click play, it picks up right where I left off in the car. And I emailed them and said, hey, I love this whole thing. Is there any way that I can speed up the playing? I actually listen usually at about 1.5, 2x speed, depending on who it is and if there's an accent involved and things like that. And boy, super quick, got a response. Oh, just use the numbers at the top, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you can actually go up to 3x, which I will say just right now, you can't understand unless somebody's talking really, really slow. It's too fast to really fathom, but it's a fun way to kind of fast forward through that. And so... I'm really right now, I really like Stitcher as a podcast consuming client, but they did come out with some new features for the back end. And you can go to, I believe it's just partners.stitcher.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super easy. They're just going to ask you for your show. They're going to ask you for your RSS feed. So that again goes back to whatever RSS feed you fed to iTunes is the one you want to feed to Stitcher. And the thing that's really cool is they just keep giving people more flexibility without making it super duper hard. So like right now, if I click on, I'm in my Stitcher page and I can actually change the RSS feed. So this is really awesome. I have a client right now who is thinking of changing her entire website design. And she was actually going to leave WordPress and go to this other thing called Mod X. I'd never heard of it in my life. It's this new open source thing. I said, well, you do realize that if you kill WordPress, you're killing your RSS feed. And I said, if this other system, you know, it's just, she's finally realizing that she really can't really do that. It's not a good idea. But if she did change to another site or something like that, you could easily go in to your Stitcher partner portal and just update your RSS feed. And that's where you can also put in your Twitter handle, your Facebook page, and a website to, you know, so then people are on Stitcher if they want to, you know, tweet your podcast and things like that. It's actually pretty cool. So
and that has not always been there. I mean, let's emphasize that. That is one of those things, you know, as I look at this, when I created the account, so I'm looking at my console right now, I never put in a Facebook URL. And once you set it up, it was locked. I mean, you were like, you couldn't even get to your RSS feed before. And so I was always like, oh boy, it would be great. You know, it'd be great if I could get access to this. And sure enough, they made the change to be able to do that. So getting to your RSS feed in Stitcher now is a big deal. I'm just going to say that. You couldn't do it before. If you haven't been on Stitcher, then you'll be like, I don't really care. But if you did publish to Stitcher and you're like, man, I can't get my RSS feed changed or something, I couldn't get to it. Because I was always afraid of that. I've got some changes going on in my network and I'm like, man, how am I going to change that on Stitcher? Now you can. And so they have been working hard on these back end to get it. And the stats are pretty interesting. We were talking about that early in the show. You can go in there, you know, so for example, on mine, you know, it's kind of ironic, Dave. So I was talking about Mike Howard earlier. He and I are also very competitive with each other. We're always comparing stats, you know, mm-hmm. And because larger stats matter. And I'm just kidding. So I was in there and I've got about 82, you know, there's a stat in there, it appears in the number of playlists, which is kind of an indication of the number, you know, of people that are listening to you on a regular basis. And mine have always hovered in the low 100, you know, 80, it's 82 right now. So I haven't quite broke 100. So I'm an audio only podcast. Not really. I mean, but it's a tech show where the video doesn't matter. My buddy Mike is a photography podcast where it does matter. And his Stitcher, which is audio only, stats are like blow mine away. And I'm like, what? You know, how does that work? That his, you know, you need the video, but for whatever reason, he does better on Stitcher than I do. But I'm in 82 playlists. My average completion ratio is about 48%, which I think is pretty good. About 45 to 48% of the time, they're getting all the way through the podcast. But my average listening time is down to about 16 minutes.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Average completion rate of the Ask the Podcast Coach show?
Yeah.
59.8.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That is pretty good. Freaking the average is 48. And what's kind of interesting, the heaviest day of listening, Thursday. Like Sunday's second, followed by Friday, then Monday, and Tuesday is our lowest day.
Yeah.
And apparently nobody listens on Wednesday. It's not even in the stats.
It doesn't even. You know what? So mine are mine peak on Monday. That's the, I'm looking at that stat. So Monday, and then it makes this inverted bell curve, right? It goes down Tuesday, down Wednesday, almost nobody on Thursday because they're all listening to Ask the Podcast Coach. That's what's going to be about mine. And then Friday picks up, Saturday picks up, Sunday picks up. So it's just inverted bell curve. But so if you're a stats junkie, and you can even, they even have a breakdown of number of total downloads by day. And so like yesterday, let's see, today's the 21st. Oh, well, their stats are a little behind. The most recent one is for the 17th of December and today's the 21st. But I had 9 downloads, total listening time, 21 minutes. Total listens, which must be their streaming side, which is 2, and the average listening time was 6 minutes. So the 17th, whatever day that was, people must have been in a hurry. That must have been a Tuesday because they didn't stay very long. But I've had other days where, you know, the day before it, I had a 94.39% completion rate.
These are some pretty cool stats. I've never really, I see here, I'm a little confused on. There's average completion rate and then average completion rate. Is that if it's greater than 15 seconds?
I think so. So they say, because what they're trying to do is eliminate those stats where people jump in and jump right out.
That,
right?
Yeah.
Because that's, I got this one by mistake or whatever. So they're trying to take those out and just say, if we eliminate that quick hitting, you know, if your podcast went viral for whatever reason, they're trying to pull that one out, that stat out.
Got it. All right. Dustin has another great question. Are there any tips to edit faster? This would be good because I think, Jim, if I remember, you pretty much just let it fly as it came in.
I do. Yeah, I do.
And
I don't know much.
I am much more of a control freak, I guess. I don't know. Well,
but our shows are very different, Dave.
Yeah, it's true. Know? Yours is a panel usually. You have guests. Yeah. Usually it's just me. And if you listen to me on this show, especially if you listen to the last couple of weeks, I haven't really done a lot of editing, and you'll notice how many times I say, you know, and and things of that nature. So I'm just kind of letting this one fly. But yeah, when it's the school of podcasting or other things, and there are times if I have enough of them, I'll put them at the end of the show and you can hear all my bloopers. It's funny because the beginning of my show is the one thing I don't kind of script out. I have no bullet points. I mean, when I do a show, it's like, okay, today we're going to talk about this, that, and that. And then I might have some sub points to make sure to, you know, talk about that. And then I basically just talk like somebody sitting across the desk from me. And then when I'm done and I realize what I've talked and I always want to include anything that any kind of tangent I threw in, I will say, okay, today on episode such and such. And that's the part that's not written out. And that's the part that I just bomb on repeatedly. So, and now if you are going to do editing, the tip is I do a podcast for a client of mine called the Crazy Egg Podcast. It's all about conversions and things like that. And I'm basically reading their blog, which in itself is kind of hard when you're reading to make it sound like you're not reading. But if I make a mistake, what I do is I pause for 10 seconds. Like I literally look at my watch and I give myself at least 5, if not 10 seconds, because that makes it super duper easy to see where the edits are. And then I just listen to I'll go to where I restarted and I'll hear what I started with. And then I'll go back a couple seconds to figure out, okay, where did I botch that? And then just delete the botch up to where I started talking again and off you go. So that's probably the biggest thing. And then in Audacity, you can actually listen at a faster rate than 1x. It's in the upper right-hand corner. There's a little slider you can move. And I use a program, if I'm really going to go in and do some some surgery close to the bone where I'm really getting in and cutting things through. I use a program on the PC called Sony SoundForge Audio Studio. It's like, I want to say it's like $80. And I love it because I've come to the conclusion I can listen at 1.78 and actually still understand what people are saying. And after you do enough of it, because I have a number of clients that they just want to record the podcast. They don't want to do the editing. So they'll throw it in a Dropbox and I take it from there. And I'm almost at the point now where I can see an coming. I know what they look like. So those are some tips. When you do make a mistake, you know, just acknowledge it. Just shut up for a second and then restart. That makes it easy to find. And then if you are going to edit, you can actually listen at a faster pace. The biggest thing to eliminate post-editing is that whole prep, show prep. If you have a clear idea of what you want to say, then you are ready to go. So I always kind of think about am I going to be mentioning any links? I want to make sure I'm not sitting there going, and for me, if I record on a portable recorder, you can always hit pause and nobody knows. I don't do the stupid thing where, hold on a second, I'm going to click pause. And then I go, okay, I'm back. Cause to the listener, that's just like to me, I think that's really silly.
Ray does that sometimes. It cracks me up.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm back.
Yeah. So, you know, those are some tips. And I guess I was going to say, Jim, any ideas, but you're just letting it rip. But again,
that's not necessarily true.
Okay.
I still listen, even though we let it go, I still listen. You know, I do some podcast consulting as well. And so there's varying stages of editing that I have to do. So while Home Tech, the show that is our roundtable, you know, kind of open discussion, let it fly. While that one, I don't do a lot of inside editing. I do listen to every single second of that podcast when I'm putting the show notes together, because that's really important. So after the show, I download it. You know, I bring mine down from YouTube. I throw it into Audacity. That strips the audio out for me. I do make some edits to put some music in and some other things, but then I go back through and because I want to make sure my show notes are really good. These tech guys expect some pretty good show notes. So go through, use that opportunity. And if there's long pauses, we've had times where Skype's dropped out or Google Plus has had some problems. You want to, you know, there's even been times I forgot that we had a really icky part in the middle of the show that I probably want to get rid of, or somebody said something and they probably shouldn't have. You know, those kinds of things. We are a family-friendly podcast. So listening to it again gives you the opportunity to take those things out. And I think Audacity, for me, Audacity is the fastest way to do it. It's so easy. It's so clear. It works so well. I've used Audition as well, but I like Audacity to speed it up. Your advice about taking a break is just gold. When you make a mistake and you stop for a second and you leave that gap in there, can't emphasize that enough. That's a really, especially when I'm editing podcasts of other people.
Yeah.
Super, super, super important to be able to get back to those spots. So there's no shortcuts to good editing. You've just got to do it. One of those kinds of things. You just got to listen to it. You can speed it up. That works too. Although that makes me go crazy after listening to an hour long podcast in 30 minutes at 2x. I am all wound up. I'm ready to go. And then Dustin had also asked a question about show prep, and you know, my recommendation is you set a time limit on your show prep. So start like an hour and just say, or whatever you're comfortable with, but let's just say you're comfortable with an hour. Set an hour. When it's done, stop, because you can listen. If you're a maximizer like me, you can spend all day getting ready for your show, right? I mean, cause you're always thinking, I could do this. If you know, you've just, at some point you got to cut it off and hit the record button and just get it done. Now going in with nothing is not an option. So you've got to set that. But as you get better with podcasting, that can maybe shorten up. I would encourage you not to shorten it up. If it was good in the beginning, still use that full hour or whatever to get that preparation done and ready to go. Use it as your time to really get your thoughts together. I know some guys who build their show notes in advance. So especially if it's a monocast or whatever, where it's just them, they'll actually write all their show notes and then just go right off the show notes for the show. And then when they're done, they don't have to write show notes.
Yeah.
It's a good way of, because we all know how much we love putting the show notes together.
Well, that's actually a really good thing. I'm trying this experiment. At this point, I'm still not sure if I'm going to pull the trigger on this, but I want to try having like a 5 day a week podcast. And I thought about this as, you know, again, for me, it's an experiment. And so it's a podcast around the Bible, basically. And there's a format of studying the Bible called soaping. And I won't get super into that, but you read scripture, you observe it, you say, how does this apply to my life? And then in theory, you pray. And I was like, okay, there's the format of the show. That's easy. And then I just found a bunch of lists of here are scriptures that you can read for January 1st, January 2nd, January 3rd. I'm like, okay, there you go. There's the show. Now it's just a matter of recording it. And so what I've been doing is when I can't be near a microphone, I will go through and read the show. And it's really just, I go through, I don't do a lot of thought into it. My whole point is, what's the first thing? What jumps out at me? And then I'll write that. Here's what jumped out at me in this verse. It did this. And I think this applies that. So I've now got about 5 shows on my website. They're all in draft mode. And when I get ready to record those, I just go back and look at that. And I look at my show notes to say, here's what I'm going to talk about. So it is kind of reverse. Usually, like with this show, I listen to the show almost again at about 1.5 speed as I'm typing up the show notes. I'll actually, in some cases, put little timestamps for that just to make sure, number one, that there's no weird audio glitches where also, you know, all of a sudden in the middle, there's a 15-second blank space where I accidentally muted a channel that had music on it or something like that.
Yeah.
But I also do that to make show notes. But yeah, that's I know some people, they'll do show notes in Evernote or in Google Docs. And then
we use Google Docs.
Yeah.
It's a great way to do it. We share them, right? So during the show, I'll say to the guest, hey, can you drop that link in the show notes? And that just takes one less burden off me having to go track that thing down at the end.
Well,
and I've even got one guest. He's really crazy about his show notes. And so he edits them within an hour after the show, his own section of the show notes. And he's super thorough.
Wow.
And I so appreciate it. And he's like, hey, don't take the show notes yet. I still have a few more edits to do. I'm like, you're awesome. I'll wait a month if that's what it takes. because it's just so nice. So having a guest like that was really nice to be able to do that. Not everybody gets that, but you can share the load. If your podcast is with a group of people, you can use Google Docs to kind of spread that show note writing out.
Yeah. And that is, it's one of those things. It is kind of a necessary evil, because I know I have a couple people that they'll write literally 2 sentences for show notes. And I'm like, you probably should give Google a little more to chew on.
I think we said 300 to 400 words is probably the right.
Yeah.
It's kind of the right amount. And you don't have, like you said, we've talked about this ad nauseum, but it would be good to get some stuff in there and some helpful links and a few notes about some stuff for sure.
Another question here from the chat room. Does Libsyn have an app? If so, I can't find it. They don't have an app for, like their whole network. They did just work with Microsoft, and I forget the name of the app, but they made an app for Windows 8 that basically is a directory app. So it's kind of like an iTunes where you have a listing of all these podcasts. And you can actually, if you're not using Libsyn, you can list your podcast in that. I'm sure there, if you go to blog.libsyn.com, they've got a link to it, but that is an app. But no, they really don't have like a network app. They do. They can make an app for your show. Like there's actually a school of podcasting app, but you have to have the $20 a month plan for that to get that for free. And actually, if you look into having an app made, that's actually something I want to investigate probably in 2014. That's not always the cheapest proposition in the world. I mean, there are a couple different places that'll, you know, they'll say they'll do it for free, but then you have to sign up to be, there's some sort of license, a developer license that you have to have for Apple, which is $100, which again, not a huge amount of money, but it's not free. And then you have to submit it and all this other fun stuff. So if you want a hassle-free app, you know, Libsyn will make you one for, all you have to do is have the $20 a month plan, which is kind of weird because for most, the average podcaster, that's a little more storage space than they need.
It is.
So
a little more cost than they need to. That gets expensive in a year.
Yeah.
When you add that up month over month.
Yeah. I was actually thinking of putting this show is hosted on Libsyn at the moment. And I thought about going to the $20 a month plan just so we could get the super uber cool stats. But I think at this point I'm doing the 15, but I thought, you know what? $5. Come on. Bite the bullet, Dave.
Hey, well, but you know, things add up. I mean, there's a lot of costs associated with podcasting. So you can, it kind of can sneak up on you, you know? Hey, Passing Places asks, have you ever checked your show notes, back to the show notes idea, page metrics against your downloads? I know that they're important and unavoidable because some people use them, but I'm one of those listeners that never visits the show notes. And man, I am too. To be honest with you, I rarely go back to show notes page. But if I do need to get a link and it's not there, I'm pretty pissed. So it's one of those kinds of things. Come on, don't shortcut it, podcaster. So, I would totally agree. I bet maybe 1 or 2% return to that page to even get the show notes. And you're sitting there for an hour or two typing them up and you're thinking, what? Nobody's ever going to look at this. Well, a couple things, couple points on that. One, if you write them correctly, Google looks at them and they'll SEO them. And I know I've had people come that aren't podcast listeners. They've made it to the page, seen the notes, and then went, oh, this guy's got a podcast, right? And they've become listeners. So write the notes not just for the show, write them for Google, right? Make sure they've got all the right words in them and you've got all the keywords. We talked about that last week, keywords, those kinds of things. So don't despair on that one if they're not doing that, if they're not coming back. And then, Dave, one of the things you taught me is turn those show notes into a newsletter, right? So every time you let people subscribe to those show notes. And say, hey, I'll just send them to you automatically. If you're not coming back to me to get them, let me send them to you and let them opt in to that. And I bet you'll pick up some more usage because you're right. I listen to my podcast in the car. I'm not looking at the show notes, right, for that.
Right.
But if I got a note, I used to get way back in the day when Paul Thurrott wasn't even on a podcast yet. He used to put out a newsletter. And man, I read that thing faithfully every single week. It came out on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., right? I knew it. And I'd be waiting for it and I'd read it. I loved it. It was just one of those things I was engaged with. So write it in a way that it makes sense from a newsletter standpoint. And then you could, if you have a weekly podcast, you can get that stuff in front of your listeners every single week. And Dave, we are at the end. Hard to believe.
I know. Time flies when you're having fun.
Just goes so fast. This is great. You know, we set some records today, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. And the thing I like about the Mixler chat, it stays here. So talk about making show notes easy. All the links are in the chat.
Yeah, it's true.
So that'll make things easy. When I come back to do the show notes, I can see I've got my links to the podcast awards and your...
I hadn't thought of it that way. That's a good way to think about it. So
I'll just go back and copy-paste. And awesome. So
hey, next week, let's talk about transcribing. Let's give a little teaser. I got a note this week about somebody wanting to transcribe my podcast. So let's talk about that next week.
We'll do that. And I love the suggestion of I'm going to compare how many page views I got on an episode versus how many downloads. That was like, ooh, that's a great question. I want to check that out. So we'll have that next week. We'll talk about transcriptions. And thanks to everybody in the chat room for showing up. Jim, as always.
Dave. It's always good.
Where can people find you?
Right now at theaverageguy.tv.
And you can find me over at schoolofpodcasting.com and also theschoolofpodcasting.com. That is now under my ownership. So, because I always talk about I'm from theschoolofpodcasting.com and people always go, is that School of Podcasting or The School of Podcasting? And now I own both. So there you go.
Congrats.
Multiple ways to get there. Yeah, actually, there's more to that story, and I'll talk about that on the School of Podcasting. But we're here every Saturday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks to everybody who showed up, and we'll see you again real soon with another episode of the Ask the Podcast Coach Show.